All the kids are here. I'm going to look at you guys, So, today, we have the story of Jonah and the Ninevites. Now, if anybody knows me, I really like sharks. Sharks are one of the most fascinating creatures to me. They've been around really long, ever since God created the world. And everybody keeps saying Jonah got swallowed by a whale. And the Bible says it was a great fish. In the New Testament, Jesus says that Jonah was in the belly of the sea monster for 3 days and three nights. Does this look like a sea monster to anybody? I think this qualifies as a sea monster. So I took liberty and put a shark. I am definitely afraid of sharks, but I like them a lot. They're very intriguing to me, but I'm terrified of them. So this is the story of Jonah the prophet. There's a book in the Bible called Jonah. Did you guys know that? Yeah. Yep. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there, but I'm going to go through the story with you today. And this is a lesson, and I want you guys to think, as we go through the story of Jonah, I want you to think firstly, what can I learn about God in the story of Jonah? And I also said it's the story of Jonah the prophet and the Ninevites. And my subtitle would be Jonah the Disobedient Prophet and the Sinful Ninevites. Okay? So Jonah was, at one time, he was a disobedient prophet. And the Ninevites were sinful people. Has anybody here ever disobeyed before? Mr. Allen was the first one to raise his hand. That's a good man right there. Yeah, I've disobeyed before. I don't live with my parents anymore, but does that mean that I don't disobey anymore? It still happens sometimes, because who would I disobey if my parents aren't around? Can somebody raise their hand and tell me who I would be disobeying if I'm not disobeying my parents? Isaac?
God,
yes. Yeah. That's a very serious thing. So so Jonah actually ran into some serious trouble at one point. Let's get to the story. So Jonah was a man who lived in the land of Israel. He was a prophet. First of all, who thinks they know what a prophet is? What's a prophet, Jocelyn? Yeah, that's true. Morse, that's a good answer, Dawson. I like that. There's one other thing that a prophet does. Who do they talk to God about? Who do they talk about God to is what I really wanted to ask. Can somebody think? Perry? Who would? Good guess. That's a good guess. So in this story, Jonah was a prophet of God to the Isaac.
Ninevites.
The Ninevites, yes. Jonah was a prophet of God to the Ninevites. But you know what else? He was also a prophet to Israel. So in this picture, Jonah is telling some very good news to the people of Israel. God used Jonah to deliver good news to them on one occasion, and there's a story about that in the Bible, but we're not going to talk about it too much. But in this picture, Jonah's giving them some good news, and it made those people happy, because the good news was that God was going to bless Israel. Jonah was happy to tell them that news, and they were glad to receive that message from God, because it was good news. Sometimes news isn't so good, though, is it? Sometimes there's news that comes to us that makes us happy, and some news comes to us that can make us sad. This is Hebrews chapter 1, which says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he created the world." Who can raise their hand and tell me, who is that person, the Son of God? Aaron. You were right. Good job. What's the clue here? What's the clue here? What does this say? Somebody who can read.
Me? I can read.
Okay. Yeah, but you're reading your book right now, Aaron. Right here.
This is Bible.
What does this word say, Aaron?
I stopped it.
Kaylee, what does this say here? Good try. Good try. I like that. Kaylee, you raised your hand. What does this say?
Created the world.
Yeah. And what does this say? Through whom he created the world. Did you know that if you read your Bible, you'll find that there's three parts to God. The Father, the Son.
Peace.
Good guess. The Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Son is Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Here's him as a major.
Sure enough. Sure enough. Okay, so here's Jonah again. Now, as one of God's prophets, Jonah understood something about God.
I got it back to Jonah.
Yep, and I forgot to say this, but you guys, you notice I'm making you raise your hand if you want to say something, okay? So if you want to say something, raise your hand. Yes, Aaron.
Like this book Rabbi has.
Yep.
And it has all of the people on it.
Uh huh.
Like it has.
Yeah, that's good. I'm gonna interrupt you, buddy. Why don't you whisper that to Uncle Corey over there? Yep. We're gonna tell about a story about Jonah right now. So if you want to hear about Jonah, you can put your book away and listen, okay? So Jonah knew something about God, and here's what it was. Jonah knew that God was a gracious and compassionate God, and that God was a God who is slow to anger, great in kindness, and God is not wishing to punish anyone. Jonah knew that. But one day God gave Jonah a message. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah sure looks like a nice prophet there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So what do you think he did? Do you think he obeyed God and went to Nineveh?
He disobeyed.
Yeah, I heard you guys were all right. Someone said he ran away. Someone said he disobeyed. Let's hold off, you guys. I want you guys to all read this with me here. Jonah said, "You are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, great in loving kindness, and who relents from doing harm." That is what Jonah knew about God, even at the beginning of our story. I'm going to come back to that later, okay? That is the most important thing I want you guys to take away from the story of Jonah. So what does it mean to be gracious? I'll tell you. The fact that God is gracious means that God is good to you, even when you don't deserve it. What does it mean that God is compassionate? It means that God is concerned about you, and he cares about you even more than your parents do. Slow to anger, what does that mean? Right here. That means that he puts up with a lot. God is very patient. Great and loving kindness. What does that mean about God? It means that God is very merciful towards you. And this last part on the bottom here says that he relents from doing harm. That means that God does not want you to perish. He doesn't want you to be punished in hell forever for your sins. God does not want that. This is the city of Nineveh, and that was the capital of the Assyrians. This is a large city with a lot of people in it. Nineveh was very sinful and wicked, though. And the people in Israel were afraid of the Assyrians. They did not like them. There had never been any friendliness between those two nations because of the differences in the ways that they lived. And the Ninevites also were not very nice. They were very cruel, and they were very harsh to their enemies. some very bad things were happening in Nineveh too. It was full of wickedness. The people in Nineveh were sinning all the time, and the more time that went by, the worse it got. It was getting worse and worse. And God told Jonah that their wickedness has come up before me. See how in this picture this man just killed another man in a competition? That's murder, isn't it? Isn't it murder to kill someone? But see all the people over here? They're cheering and they're happy. And this man killed this man right here. But they're all happy about it. That is sinful, isn't it? And that's wicked and that's evil. That's the kind of stuff that was probably happening in Nineveh. Not a good place to be. That's not how God wanted things to be when he created us and when he created those Ninevites. And God was going to do something about all this wickedness. He was not going to put up with it any longer, even though he's a God who's slow to anger. He was going to overthrow the city and make an end of it. And God wanted Jonah to go to this city, to go to Nineveh and preach in its streets. And he wanted Jonah to deliver the message that what these people were doing was very wrong. And God was going to punish them and put an end to it. Now, not only were they cruel, the Ninevites did not worship God, the one true God, their creator. Instead, they worshiped things in place of God, and they would do all kinds of bad stuff during their worship services. It was terrible. And Jonah didn't want to warn the enemies of his people that Nineveh was going to be destroyed. Why should they get warned? Why shouldn't God just go ahead and destroy Nineveh? They were very wicked after all, right? That would be right. Another reason Jonah probably didn't want to deliver that message was he was probably worried about his own safety. He probably thought that that the message he had for them would not be well received. And when he heard that what all of the Ninevites did to their enemies, and he would probably have been their enemy, he probably didn't want to go to Nineveh. Would you have wanted to go to Nineveh?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't either. So, but God had told Jonah to, but Jonah decided to ignore God, and he headed in the opposite direction from Nineveh. He went to the coast. Did he disobey God? He did, yeah. So he boarded a boat that was heading for Tarshish, which was as far away as he could get from Nineveh. Soon, he was out at sea, feeling better and better the farther away from Nineveh they sailed. He was also leaving his home in Israel, though. I wonder if he felt a little sad about that. But he still didn't want to obey God, so he went. As far away as he could. But can you really run away from God?
No.
No, you can't. Why not, Perry?
Because he's everywhere.
Because that's bad, yep. And what did you say, Abby?
He's everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we can't get away from God. He's everywhere. And he sees everything we do. Now, this is a little lesson here, you guys. And this is a good lesson for us adults, too. God sees everything we do. And he even knows what we are thinking. Jonah, how does it make you feel to know that God sees everything you do, everywhere you go, and everything you think? Is someone brave enough to raise their hand and tell me? How does that make you feel?
Sad.
That makes Abby sad. Anybody else? Perry? It makes you sad too? Probably because it makes Abby feel sad, right? Does it make anybody feel scared?
Yeah.
For adults, does it make anybody feel sober? Right? Sober is a big person word. But we're all here, right? So it can also be comforting, though. Because the longer I live, the more I realize that I need God's help in my life. And if he knows everything about me, then he can help me all the better, right? So it's good. It's good that God knows everything about us. But sometimes it can make us feel ashamed and embarrassed when all the things that we try and keep inside and hidden from other people, they're not hidden from God. So that's why I said it can make us feel sober and serious and really seriously think about how, about that we have a God that loves us and cares about us, but he's a holy God. And you matter to God. Do you know that, kids? Do you know that you matter to God? And that he's just not out to get you? Some people live their whole lives thinking that God is out to get them. And when something bad happens, who did it? God did this to me. And that is not the way God is. So don't let anyone tell you that's how God is. So let's sing this little song here. This is a song. Does anybody know "Oh, Be Careful"? All right, I'll lead us. All right, sing with me. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For it's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you say. Good. Good job, you guys. Let's get back to our story. So Jonah went down into that ship, and soon he was fast asleep as the ship sailed farther from Nineveh and closer to Tarshish. But while Jonah slept, God hurled a great wind, and the sea became very rough, and there was a great storm that was getting close to sinking the ship Jonah was on. And the sailors on that ship were very worried. I'm going to do a listening check. Who can raise their hand and tell me where was Jonah right now in this picture? And I know he's on the ship, but where is Jonah on the ship? Coco?
Sleeping.
Yeah, sleeping. He's on the bottom of the ship sleeping. So he's not on the deck there trying to help. He's snoring away in the bottom of the ship. Here's another question. Do you think it was a good thing that Jonah was sleeping during this storm? What do you think, Kaylee?
No,
and why do you say that?
Because he could be helping them.
That's true. Yeah, he could have been helping. What does it tell you? This is a question maybe for the older kids. What does that tell you about Jonah's heart if he was disobeying God and he could just sleep during this? What do you think that says about Jonah's heart right now? Kendra?
That it wasn't right with God.
That's right. And you know, there's a word that comes to my mind when I think about this. I think of a stubborn heart. A stubborn heart that just, God is trying to get a hold of Jonah's heart right here. And it's, he's being stubborn and cold and hard. God doesn't want us to have a cold, stubborn heart, you guys. God wants soft hearts from us. And he loves us enough sometimes to put a storm around us so that we snap out of it and shake out of it, right? That's what he had to do with Jonah here. So the sailors, you see, what are the sailors doing up there? They're on their knees, and one guy's trying to row there, but this guy looks like he's praying, doesn't it? And this guy too, and what are they doing? The sailors fell to their knees and they were crying out to their gods to spare their lives. Do you think that was going to help? Their gods, yeah. What gods? Who was going to listen to that? They were praying to their gods and they weren't going to help them. But the wind, it just blew harder and stronger, and the crew even tried throwing supplies and cargo off the ship to lighten it up in hopes that the ship would be light enough to not sink during this terrible storm. And then the captain of the ship, he went down. He knew Jonah was sleeping down there. He knew that that boat wouldn't last through that storm. So he woke Jonah up and said to him, "How are you sleeping during this? Get up and call on your God to save us." The captain said, "Maybe your God will be concerned about us so that we will not die." Do you think Jonah's God cared about the people on that boat?
No.
God actually did care. Yeah. Yep, God cared about the one true God. He cared about those people. How do I know that? 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is patient toward you and not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God doesn't want anybody to perish, you guys. Do you know what perish means? Kendra? You could say.
It means to be, destroyed or to die.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what it means to perish. God doesn't want us to be destroyed, and he doesn't want us to die. That's right. That's right. But how could Jonah call on God when he was running away from him? In desperation, the crew of the ship drew lots, which is kind of like rolling a dice, to find out who was responsible for the trouble they were in. Have you guys ever played rock, paper, scissors? Yeah, that's kind of what they did. And guess who the lot fell to? It just so happened that the lot fell to Jonah, and Jonah was shown to be the guilty one. Or was that by chance? Was that the roll of the dice? Maybe God was arranging things so that it would be shown that Jonah was the reason for that storm. Because God was trying to get at Jonah's stubborn heart, wasn't he? Because he loved Jonah, and he loved the Ninevites. God was not going to let Jonah run away, and God had a plan for him. And so the sailors, then they demanded to know what, they said, "Who are you, Jonah, and what have you done to upset God?" And so Jonah confessed to them what he had done, and he told them that if they were to throw him overboard, the storm would stop. Who knows what it means to confess? Can you raise your hand? What does it mean to confess? Ellie, what does it mean? Take a guess. If you're not sure, just do your best guess.
To confess.
You want to take a guess?
No, I won't.
You can do it. What?
M.
What?
M.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's fine. I like that you raised your hand. Does anybody else know what it means to confess? Saraya. To be good? That's a pretty good answer. Yep. More specifically, it means that you admit you did something wrong. So to confess means to admit that you did something that wasn't right. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Oh, that is so hard for me to do sometimes. If I think I'm right. But I'm not. It's hard to confess, isn't it? That's going to be a battle your whole life, so get used to admitting sometimes if you're wrong. Okay? Life will go better for you. In this big storm, though, innocent people were going to die. Probably because Jonah, just knowing that there were innocent people on that boat and this whole storm was there because of him, probably helped Jonah admit that he was wrong. And Jonah probably loved God still, so there might have been a little soft heart in there. But he finally admitted it all, and he said, "Yep, I've been running from God. I'm supposed to be a prophet. I'm a Hebrew," he said. I serve the one true God who made this sea, and the sea is just God was stirring up the sea. So Jonah finally said, "You win, God. I'll obey you." And so Jonah said, "Throw me overboard." And so they took a hold of Jonah and threw him overboard, and immediately that storm stopped. Now, I thought about this. Jonah probably couldn't swim. So this is basically like jumping off a cliff, you know. He's not going to survive in the water. He's going to drown in that water. And Jonah probably thought he was going to die. Ooh, that's pretty dark. That's hard to see. But God was in control of the storm, right? If God created the storm, do you think God created the fish in the water? So you know what God did with the fish? There was one fish that God commanded to go underwater, find Jonah, and swallow him up without chewing him. And let's say it was a shark. Normally, that wouldn't have gone so well if Jonah got ate by a shark. But whatever kind of fish it was, God commanded it to save Jonah's life. Because Jonah would have drowned in that water. But the fish swallowed him up, and he was in that fish for 3 days and three nights. And you can't see super well in this picture, but Jonah is in the stomach of the fish. And can you guys guess, what is he doing there? Is he sleeping again? Yeah, you'd think so. I think he's done enough sleeping, right? He is praying. Was that what you were going to say, Jocelyn? Good. Jonah is praying in the belly of this big fish. So, 3 days and three nights in a fish. That's a long, long time, right? Imagine if you had to stay in your bedroom for 3 days and three nights. That would be terrible. I bet you this fish's belly was smaller than your bedroom. Maybe even smaller than your bed. But Jonah was praying, and God had finally got a hold of his heart. And so after that time went by, Jonah... and the other thing, what was Jonah praying about? Was he praying for his aunts and uncles that they would get over colds back? So Jonah was actually praying to God. And in Jonah chapter 3 is Jonah's prayer. And at the end of the prayer, Jonah says, salvation is from the Lord. And so Jonah was admitting that God was his savior. And he was telling God, thank you for saving him from drowning, is what I believe. And so after that, Jonah got out of the fish's belly because God commanded that fish to go over to the seashore and puke him up. Yuck. Right? So the fish vomited Jonah up onto the ground, and Jonah was no longer in the fish. So here's a question. Do you guys think it was a miracle that Jonah lived through that fish and lived for 3 days and came out alive? Do you think that was a miracle?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are shaking your heads. Who can raise their hand and tell me what a miracle is? What's a miracle, Jocelyn? It's different than magic. It's a good guess. What's a miracle, Kaylee?
Something that only God can do and no one else can.
I like that. That is a very good answer. That's correct. God, it's a miracle that only God can do, and it's when something happens that can't be explained any other way than God's hand, God doing it. So maybe Jonah took a bath. He looks pretty good in this picture, but then God repeated his instruction to Jonah after he got vomited out by the fish. He said, go to the city of Nineveh. And this time, Jonah obeyed. So Jonah went boldly into the city, and he cried out, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And he walked throughout the city, warning of God's judgment on the city. And after getting through about one-third of it, it's a 3 days journey through that city, he got 1 day in. And after 1 day of preaching, the people listened and believed in God. I think that's another miracle. And those people proclaimed a fast to repent of their wickedness. From the greatest of them to the least of them, they did not eat, and they wore very itchy, scratchy clothes called sackcloth. Have you ever seen a sack of potatoes? Like the burlap, really rough stuff? Can you imagine wearing clothes made out of that stuff? Oh, that would drive me nuts. But they put it on so that they would be uncomfortable. And they didn't eat so that they would be uncomfortable. And they didn't drink. And they put dust on themselves to show how bad they felt about their sins. They felt bad that they had lived without God and how they hadn't thought about Him even, and how they had disobeyed Him. Do you guys understand what fasting is? It's something we don't always talk about too much. Fasting is when you don't eat because something is more important than food. Something is more important than food. What do you guys think is more important here than food? Take a guess, Jocelyn.
God.
That's right. That's a good answer, yep. God. And they realized they were living without God. And so to show God that they were serious, they didn't eat. They put on uncomfortable clothes, and they just put dirt on themselves to show how low. This is called humbling themselves, you guys. It's so that they would show God that they were serious about being sorry. Good question. So that's what they did. And for the older kids here, here's a question. These people were doing something. I've been telling you about what they all did. I'm not asking what they put on, what they didn't eat, and whatever. But there's a longer word. It starts with an R that describes what they are doing. What's your guess, Isaac?
Repentance.
Repentance. Good job. That is exactly right. This is what repentance looks like, you guys. Now, you can repent to God without putting dirt all over yourself. You probably do that for fun, actually. But you can wear your normal clothes and be repentant. You can eat three meals a day and you can be repentant. But these particular people found it extra helpful to fast, be uncomfortable, and just be kind of ashamed. They were ashamed before God for how they had lived, and they repented. They were. Repentance, you guys, is realizing that God's way is better than your way of living. It's deciding to no longer do what you want. For example, God's word says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." If you love to disobey your parents and you don't feel bad about it, and if you love to take things that aren't yours, if you love to lie to your friends and family or hurt people with your words or take things that aren't yours, then you need God to help you repent. But here, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Am I making you feel kind of sad inside? I get kind of serious when I think like that, when I think, oh boy, I hope I... Let's raise our hand if we want to talk, okay? Perry? You're thinking about stuff, that's good. Forgot what I was going to say. That's a serious thing, you guys, right? But there is... sometimes we have to think seriously about things. But here is the really good news, you guys, that can make you, that will give you hope. God, listen to this. God will never turn away a repentant person. God will never turn away a repentant person. God heard the prayers of these Ninevites, and He saw that they were truly repentant because He was a, say it with me, gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, great in loving kindness, and who relents from doing harm. That's how God is. And God, in mercy, spared the Ninevites and did not destroy them. We have to repent to God on His terms, though. 1 John 1, verse 8 and 9 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins," there's that word confess again, which means to admit. If we admit our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we do that, if we repent, you guys, and if we confess that we are a sinner before God, He is faithful. He will forgive us. And he will do what is right, and he will take somebody, no matter how sinful, a Ninevite, and he will cleanse them from all of their unrighteousness, and he will do that for you as well, no matter what you've done. Here's that verse I showed you again. I showed you this verse before, and it says that the Lord is patient. You can put your name right in here. I'll show you. I'll do it with my name. The Lord is patient toward Josiah, not wishing that Josiah should perish, but that Josiah should reach repentance. That is God's heart towards you kids, and you can do that with your own name. So back to our story here. This is the king of Nineveh. When the king heard about Jonah's message, he became aware of the ways that he had disobeyed God. What's he doing in this picture? Asher, what is he doing in that picture, that guy? Yeah, what's he doing with his robe, his cape there? That looks like something a king would wear, right? To look all powerful and important. What's he doing with his powerful, important cape? Is he putting it on, or see that there? What's he doing with it now? He's taking it off. Well, maybe he's starting to humble his heart too, huh? And maybe he's going to confess that he's a sinner and repent before the one true God. So he's on his knees there, and he was sorry for all of his wickedness, and he took off his rich royal garments. And then he put on sackcloth too. He put on that clothing, and he was pleading with God to show mercy to him and his city. He didn't let anyone in the whole city of Nineveh taste a thing, not even water. He even put sackcloth on the animals. So this guy was serious too, wasn't he? Just like those people we talked about who heard Jonah's message. Well, when the king heard about it too, he did the same thing. Yes, Perry. You have a question? He looks kind of sad. Yep. It's sad when we realize we've sinned against God. But we can be happy if we know that he's forgiven us of our sins. Did you know that?
No.
It's true. So this guy looks like he's thinking really seriously about repentance. And he feels bad about his sin and the sin of his city. Here's the thing about God that is so amazing that I really want you guys to take away from this story of Jonah, okay? When you think of Jonah, the story of Jonah, I want you to remember that, remember what God is like. Now, number one, we know that he's compassionate, gracious, he's slow to anger, and he doesn't want anybody to go through any harm, right? He doesn't want us to perish. But God also is opposed to the proud. He's against the proud. He doesn't like it when we're proud and think that we're always right in our ways, because we're not. And he knows that. But God gives grace to the humble. And that is the most wonderful, comforting thing that I could ever tell you, is that God gives grace to the humble. And what is grace, you guys? It's a small word, but it's kind of... We say it a lot. Do we know what it means? What it means is that God is good to you, even when you don't deserve it. I put a picture here. What's this all about? Why did I put this picture on this slide? What do you think, Jocelyn?
Because he died for us.
Jonah? Jonah died for us?
Mm-hmm.
Who died for us?
Jesus.
Jesus died on the cross. Who is Jesus? God. Which part of the Trinity is Jesus? Remember I showed you on that slide who created the world?
The Holy
Spirit? No, he's the Son. The Son of God. Yep, good guess though. Jesus is the Son of God. And the grace of God here is that Jesus died on the cross for us. so that if we would repent from our sins and believe in Jesus, God would wipe away all of our sins and make us clean. He promised, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. This is what some of Jesus' followers said after Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the tomb for 3 days, and then raised from the dead and went to heaven. They told some people, God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, like Jonah, that his Christ would suffer on the cross, and he fulfilled it. And therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. And it was for you that God raised up his servant, Jesus, and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. That's what the Ninevites did, wasn't it? They turned from their wicked ways. And didn't Jonah kind of have a change of heart too? Jonah kind of changed his heart too during the story. So the Ninevites did, and Jonah did. And why was that? It's because there was one God who loved all of them, and that is why God is so amazing, because he can take horrible things that are going on, and he can make them good. And he can do that for each one of you kids as well. So this is a song we can close by singing here. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Our God and Father, thank you for this story of Jonah and the Ninevites and how you worked in their lives, and we just thank you for what a compassionate God you are. And we pray that each one in this room who heard your word today would respond to it.